going to go on to case number 3, and that is 13-16-59, Black Beauty Coal Company versus the Secretary of Labor. And this is a very long day. Good morning.
Good morning. May it please the court, my name is Arthur Wolfson. I represent Black Beauty Coal Company. Your Honors, we've all had the experience of driving down an interstate highway, normally, and come to a point where there's road construction. And I'm sure we've all experienced where we get funneled. We're driving along in the right lane, we get funneled into the left lane because the right lane is under construction. We look over to the right lane, and the right lane is torn up. There's earth-moving equipment. The road's graded. There may be a service truck. There may be a pickup truck. We certainly wouldn't want to drive on it. We would never consider the right lane, in my hypothetical, to be a travelway, to be a roadway. We would never drive on it. It defies common sense. It's an example we're all familiar with because we all drive. Similar concept is true in surface coal mining. In surface coal mine, roads, areas are roads, they're made to be roads, and then the roads are destroyed. The landscape changes. An area such as a bench in what we're talking about here may serve as a road one day at one moment during one shift, and then the next shift, a different activity is taking place, and it's no longer a roadway. That is what this case is about. This case is about what happens when a bench, which is simply a mining term to describe an area on top of a pit, what it is, is it a roadway when the drag line, which is a large 10 million pound piece of equipment that moves 450 feet per minute, is being moved.
Sorry, not per minute.
Per hour.
Thank you.
Yes, per hour. Excuse me. Apologize. Per hour is being moved across the bench from one location to another.
Is it true that the drag line needs the assistance of a bulldozer and a backhoe as it moves?
It does not need the assistance. Well, it does need the assistance of a backhoe because it is powered by a cable, and the backhoe assists in moving the cable. With respect to the bulldozer, to move the drag line, it does not require the bulldozer to move it. But what it does, the move requires a bulldozer because the bench, if it had existed as a roadway previously, requires the bulldozer to knock down the berms to allow the drag line to move across the bench. So the answer to your question on the bulldozer is sort of yes and no, if that makes sense. The bench, however, may have existed as a roadway before a move, in which large haul trucks may come and go. During the move, it does not serve as a roadway. And then it may, again, serve as a roadway after the move, in which case the bulldozer and some other equipment will come along, repair the bench so that it may be used as a roadway, and build back the berms. That's surface mining. There's nothing, just like my example with driving is common to all of us who drive cars, the process I just described is just as common to somebody who works in the surface mining industry.
What's the problem then with the inspector that came by? What did the inspector observe that was not normal?
Well, what the inspector observed was the bench as it existed during a dragline move, as this large piece of equipment that moves 450 feet per hour was moving across the bench. When the dragline is being moved from one place to another, which occurs every 7 to 10 days, the berms have to be lowered or removed to make, to allow this gigantic piece of equipment to move. What the inspector cited was a lack of berms on the bench, and the inspector testified that he, that because there were, there was the presence of a rubber tired truck on the bench, which was there because the on this particular day the drag line broke down. Not normal, hopefully not normal for the drag line to break down. On this particular day that happened, the inspector stated at the hearing that once that rubber tire truck touched the bench, that it became a roadway and a berm was required. That is erroneous, and the Federal Mine Safety and Health Review Commission appropriately rejected that finding because the ALJ based her decision on the same rationale. So the inspector was wrong when he issued the citation. What that gets us to is, although the Federal Mine Safety and Health Review Commission rejected that approach, it applied its nature of the use test, where it looks at the nature of the use of the area to determine whether it is a roadway, but it misapplied it. In this case, the Review Commission found three reasons that it considered it to be, that this bench to be a roadway, and it was incorrect in all three. First reason cited by the commission was before the drag line move and after the drag line move, the bench functioned as a roadway. We don't disagree. It did function as a roadway before and after. That doesn't matter. As the dissenting commissioner appropriately pointed out, the focus is on what was the nature of the use of the bench during the drag line move. That narrow focus is what's appropriate, and the Review Commission simply missed it. The second point is the presence of the backhoe. The Review Commission found relevant that this backhoe is present during the drag line move because it has rubber tires. Two problems with that point. First of all, a backhoe is not a vehicle. Nobody's going to – it's a piece of equipment. It's a piece of earth-moving equipment that was used to assist the drag line. It's not something one would take for any type of transportation. It's used as part and parcel of the move. Second problem with that approach is it just leads us back to the very approach they rejected, which was the mere presence of this backhoe, which is common during a drag line move, but the mere presence of this rubber tire backhoe makes this a roadway that requires a berm. It's circular because that just gets them back to the approach they just rejected, which was the presence of the rubber tire piece of equipment.
Presumably, the berm is to prevent someone on a roadway going too close to the edge and having a precipitous drop, isn't it?
It's to provide a guide at such an edge.
I mean, there's not some danger reason other than just to know where the road is.
There is Review Commission case law that a berm is not designed to prevent over travel, but it is designed to guide one, to provide a guide against over travel.
Well, I assume it's a safety measure.
It is.
And I thought it was because the berm is on the edge of some drop, so you don't want to accidentally go over.
That's why you have a berm when it is a roadway.
Well,
correct.
That's what. But you're saying because they were moving this gigantic, you know, it's interesting when you look at it where the steps are for somebody to walk up and look at the door. It tells you how big that thing is. I mean, it's huge.
So, it is huge.
So I don't understand when it goes one bench to another. Does it traverse something that would otherwise be a big drop? That's why a berm was there and it was removed so it could traverse?
It traverses a ledge on top of the pit that is essentially flat, and it uses there's a photo in the joint exhibits. It uses feet, what we're calling feet, and walks very slowly. And there was never an allegation that the movement of the drag line required a berm.
No, I understand that. But when they went up to repair and they drove up these trucks, you also have a picture of those. That's what I'm...
Correct.
I'm trying to figure out what the absence of a berm caused as a safety reason?
The absence of a berm.
Because they were using it as a roadway, I guess.
And see, that's our position, is that it was not being used as a roadway. Mm-hmm. It was used, that there is a difference between a dragline bench, which is the mining term for when the bench is being used to move the dragline, and a roadway. They're two different things. The dragline bench is, we need to look at getting back to the commission's nature of the use test. We look at really the nature, we look at this area and what is it being used for. And the nature of the use is sort of a clunky term that is a little bit amorphous, but in one administrative law judge decision, Higman Sand and Gravel, the judge sort of unpacked that and referred to it as a transportation corridor, a area over which vehicle traffic commonly travels back and forth. If we look at the Cleveland Cliffs Iron case, which both sides have cited to, in that case, an area was found to be a roadway because maintenance trucks would travel it three times per day to get to a pump house to maintain the pumps that was necessary in the mining process. That's the difference. Three times per day is the nature of that roadway in Cleveland Cliffs makes it a roadway. It's being traveled back and forth as part of the normal mining process. Conversely, in our case, we have a bench that a drag line is being moved across, and in this case, we had an anomalous event, a breakdown, and which required the use of truck vehicle, but that use in and of itself does not change the nature of the bench, the nature of the use of the bench. It simply was an anomalous event in this case. And that,
speaking of this case, out of curiosity, may I ask you why the appeal of this $4,000 penalty is so important to Black Beauty?
My client operates five surface coal mines in Indiana and Illinois, in addition to other surface coal mines across the western United States. The affiliated company does. The other companies don't go by Black Beauty, but the affiliated mm-hmm. company does. Your Honor is correct. It is not. It is truly not about the money, a phrase we hear maybe too often, but it truly isn't. It is about the practice. And that this is a common practice in surface coal mining of when a drag line is being moved and for operational concerns would be inhibited by putting a berm up during the move. I have my light, but I...
Well, that still means you have some time left.
Okay.
But, Mr. Wilson, these all sound like interesting arguments to present to an administrative law judge or to the commission with its expertise in mine safety. That's not us. What legal standard, what case law, what statute do you think has been violated here?
The legal what's been violated, Your Honor, is that the commission in its decision did state that it purported to follow the nature of the use test.
Which comes from where?
Its own precedent.
Okay.
But then it misapplied it. It had,
why isn't that a kind of oxymoron if it's its own test and it is free, presumably, to modify and adjust policies and standards?
Perhaps I didn't state that well then. The nature of the use test is the correct test based on Review Commission case law. We look at the nature of the use of the area. In contrast with the erroneous position of both the ALJ and the inspector, which was once a rubber tire vehicle touched the bench, it becomes a roadway. That's erroneous. The commission correctly said, no, that's wrong. It's the nature of the use. We look to the nature of the use of the road. But then it didn't do that. It misapplied its own standard.
How do we determine that? Since it's the commission is the expert agency and sets its own standard.
We determine it because the commission gave us three reasons. One, it looked at what happened before and after the drag lines being moved. That's in direct contradiction to the nature of the use test where
What controlling law did the commission err in applying?
Its nature of the
use. Nothing from the Supreme Court, circuit court, or statutes or regulations?
To my knowledge, there is, and neither party has cited to any controlling circuit or Supreme Court decision that addresses when a when an area becomes a roadway that requires berms.
Okay, thank you.
But if we look to the three points that the Commission relied upon, the before and after, the presence of the backhoe, which is essentially just getting back to it, the mere presence of a rubber tire vehicle, and then the presence of the maintenance vehicle without any evidence that maintenance of this sort of a broken down drag line, I meant red, may I finish my thought?
Of course.
Okay, thank you, Your Honor. Without any evidence.
You're not in the Third Circuit now.
Appreciate it.
Not the Third Circuit.
Thank you, Judge. Without any evidence that maintenance of this sort was part of the normal mining process, which is what the nature of the use test says, the Commission erred in referencing the nature of the use test, but then misapplying it, and that is exactly the point that dissenting Commissioner Duffy pointed out in his concise but directly on-point dissent in this case.
Okay. Hi, Mr. Waldman.
Good morning. May it please the court. The surface at a mine is a roadway when a vehicle commonly travels over it during the normal mining routine. In this case, the dragline manager for Black Beauty Coal Company was asked during his testimony, why was there this service truck on the bench while the dragline was moving? And his answer was, it's a common practice. It's a common practice to perform maintenance on a dragline when it's down for repairs. This statement demonstrates that this was not an anomaly or an aberration, but that Black Beauty commonly sends repair or service vehicles on dragline benches to repair broken down draglines. And if the dragline breaks down during a move, then they send it during the move. And the problem there, or the problem in this case, was that there was no berm at that time, and so this truck that came within 18 feet of a 50-foot steep drop had no berm protection as is required by the standard.
Was that berm supposed to be removed in order to move the big machine, or is that just incidental? Because that, if you got a 50-foot drop, obviously they're not going to take this walking monster over the berm. Is that correct?
That's correct, and yes, the Black Beauty's policy was indeed to lower the berm in order to move the drag line.
Is that not necessary?
I believe it is necessary, and if Black Beauty had adhered to its own policy in this case, we would not be here, because if Black Beauty had left a remnant berm of 3 feet, which is what its policy is, that berm would have been more than sufficient to comply with the standard.
In other words, at some point, the vehicles attending to the moving drag line are going to be exposed to a lower berm. No way around that, right?
Well, the question is
whether... It seems to me that while the drag line is actually moving, the berm must be lowered so that the drag line can move.
That's correct.
So at some point, you know, whatever vehicle is there attending to that moving drag line has to be exposed to a lower berm.
That's correct.
So then aren't the vehicles exposed to the danger of driving off the bench?
Not if Black Beauty had adhered to its own policy. See, when the drag line is doing its excavating job, the bench is used primarily as a road for these enormous haulage trucks, and the berm that's required for them is 5 to 6 feet, as the testimony showed. When the drag line ceases its excavation work and is moved from point A to point B along the bench, they lower that berm from 5 or 6 feet to 3 feet. Mm-hmm. That's Black Beauty's policy. A berm of 3 feet, however, would have been more than sufficient to protect the service truck that came to do the maintenance on the drag line. So although the berm would have been lowered, true, it would have been sufficient to protect this service truck because it still would have been 3 feet. The service truck that came is much smaller than the enormous haulage trucks that operate when the drag line is doing its excavation work.
And why do you think that Black Beauty is fighting this case so
I'm a little bit puzzled. Honestly, I'm puzzled because if they had simply followed their own policy, there wouldn't have been a violation here. And all they have to do is follow their own policy, and there won't be any violations in the future. So honestly, I'm puzzled, but I'm not the person really who has the answer to that question. Now, there's also a question, though, of assuming that this bench is a roadway, there's a question of whether the berm there was adequate or not. And on this particular issue, it comes down to conflicting testimony, that of the MSHA, Mine Safety and Health Administration's inspector, versus that of Black Beauty's operations manager. And the ALJ credited the MSHA inspector, who testified that there was no berm at all for a distance of approximately 0.2 miles along that bench. And the ALJ gave two reasons for crediting the MSHA inspector's testimony, one of which Black Beauty doesn't even challenge. But the one that Black Beauty does challenge is that the ALJ made a mistake when she credited the MSHA inspector based on the fact that he had taken measurements with precision while he was on the bench. And Black Beauty's argument apparently is that, well, there's no evidence that the MSHA inspector actually measured the berm in question, and so there's no support for the ALJ's reasoning. But I think the clear implication of the ALJ's reasoning is that if this inspector took measurements on the bench with precision, then if there had been a berm that existed, he would have measured that. And the fact that he didn't measure that is further evidence that in fact didn't exist, which is what the ALJ found. Beyond that, there's questions as to whether this violation was significant and substantial and an unwarrantable failure. With respect to the significant and substantial issue, which that's essentially a violation that's highly dangerous, to put it in most simple terms. The only argument that Black Beauty raises here is that there was no evidence, or that the that there's no evidence that an over-travel incident was reasonably likely. But the commission case law on this holds that inquiry is not relevant. The inquiry is whether the hazard to which the violation contributes is reasonably likely to result in an injury. And in this case, the ALJ and the ALJ identified the hazard as the hazard of going over the edge, falling over the edge. And so the relevant question here is whether if a truck goes over the edge, there's a reasonable likelihood that there's going to be an injury. And the ALJ found that there was, and Black Beauty doesn't challenge that. And so that holding should be affirmed. And with respect to the unwarrantable failure issue, unwarrantable failure is essentially a question of culpability. the conduct of the operator. And the primary basis for Black Beauty's challenge here is the ALJ's reliance on the fact that there were two previous citations issued for berm violations 5 days before this one was. And according to Black Beauty, there's nothing in the record that indicates any similarity. In fact, there's nothing in the record that indicates what those citations were even about, other than that they were issued for the same standard. But in fact, both of those citations were admitted into the record, and so all the details about them are contained in the record. And in fact, Black Beauty's own operations manager testified specifically about the details of at least one of them. That one was a case where Black Beauty had completed a dragline move, but before they rebuilt the berm, haulage trucks started running, and so they received a citation. This case, although it's not identical to that, it's very similar to that. Here, Black Beauty suspended a dragline move and ran a truck over the bench before reestablishing a berm. And so, of course, it's not identical, but it's certainly substantially similar, and similar enough to have given Black Beauty notice that it needed to put forth greater compliance efforts with respect to berm regulations.
Counsel, I thought I recalled that there was an argument made that the inspector who issued this particular citation didn't know about the earlier citations. I assume that the decision about whether a violation is unwarrantable is made at a higher level with somebody with a greater familiarity with the overall safety record of the mine in question. Is that right?
No. The unwarrantability determination is made by the issuing inspector. And this inspector did not have personal knowledge of the two previous berm violations. He had been told about them by his supervisor on the way to the mine.
Yeah, he doesn't have to work by rules of evidence. So,
The question, though, is not the state of the inspector's mind. Mm-hmm. The question is the state of the operator's mind. The question is, did the operator know that it needed to make greater efforts towards compliance? And the fact is that the operator, and in fact this operations manager himself, had received those previous citations. So whether this particular inspector had personal knowledge of them is really not relevant, as the commission held, because the focus is on the operator's state of mind, not the commissioner's. And there is other evidence in the record to establish exactly what the circumstances are were regarding the prior violations and why they were similar. And as I mentioned, Black Beauty's own operations manager testified as to the circumstances about those prior violations, and so he clearly had notice. Black Beauty's counsel here opened with an analogy to driving on a highway. The analogy that was used in Black Beauty's brief, though, at page 16 of their brief, was about a railroad. And they said a railroad is no longer a railroad if the rails have been taken away. And that may be true, but if you take the analogy, or if you continue with the same analogy, in this case, Black Beauty removed the rails, but then it kept on sending railroad cars down the same path. That makes, I think, it all the more clear the danger involved and why a berm was necessary in this case. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, you used up all your time, but we will give you two more minutes.
Thank you, Your Honor. Respectfully, the Secretary's counsel misstates the dragline manager's testimony. The dragline manager, who was responsible for the dragline because it is an integral part of the operation, states that when any maintenance, or when what he stated was when maintenance occurs, it is not uncommon to do additional work because the drag line's already down, and that's why they had the and that's why they would sometimes weld when they were doing other maintenance, in this case electrical maintenance. He did not state that, and the record is completely devoid of any evidence that the drag line would break down while traveling across the drag line bench that would necessitate the bringing trucks in as part of the normal or common mining routine. And that's the critical consideration here. The drag line's used every day and every shift at this mine. It only traverses the bench once every 7 to 10 days. As Commissioner Duffy aptly noted, there was no evidence that this type of activity was part of the normal course of events at the mine, and that's probably because the inspector issued the citation based on an erroneous understanding of the berm requirement. Second, the policy of lowering the berms is respectfully another misstatement by the Secretary's counsel. It was not a policy to lower them to a strict limit of 3 feet. They would lower them, and then they would have to rebuild them back to make it a roadway again. It stands to reason that they typically wouldn't destroy the berms in total if you were just going to have to raise them back up again. There was never any evidence of a strict policy to a 3-foot berm length during a drag line move that is being offered now to show some sort of admission that this was a roadway. The record never established that, and Black Beauty had no such policy. In fact, Mr. Traylor, the operations manager, expressed to the inspector during the inspection that he did not consider this to be a roadway because it was a dragline bench. Therefore, there was no such policy of maintaining berms in any recognition of this being a roadway. Thank you, Your Honors. And I'm out of time.
Okay. Well, thanks to both of you. The case will be taken under advisement. And I hope you both have good trips back.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Yeah. Dan, do you need a break? Yeah.